Paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I wasn't looking for anything special when I decided to stay at the Jaén Parador. I didn't even know what it was. Technically, I wasn't done with my night shift. I had to keep working all night driving, but I was so tired I just wanted to take a little break and keep driving. I found the place by chance in an ad. History and luxury, it said. I wasn't interested in history or luxury, but it was close to my route, and if I didn't stop for a little rest, I feared falling asleep at the wheel. The building was impressive, a stone structure standing on a hill with an appearance of a medieval castle. I entered the lobby, and the first thing I noticed was the silence. Not even voices could be heard at the reception desk. I approached the desk where an older woman welcomed me.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
She had a professional smile, and she didn't look like a hotel receptionist on the road. Perhaps without realizing it, I had wandered into a touristy place. After I asked for the room, she looked at me confused, as if she was surprised about something. She asked me if I knew the history of the hotel, and I told her I didn't. She went to check her keys, and I noticed that she chose one in particular. She gave it to me and wished me good night. At that point, I thought I was missing something, but I was too tired to ask her, so I left. I went up to the second floor. The door to the room was remarkable for its wear and tear. The wood looked older than the other doors, and the lock bore marks of excessive use. I opened it without much thought. The room was spacious, decorated with antique furniture, with a large bed and heavy curtains blocking the light from outside. I plopped down on the bed after a quick shower and turned off the light. I fell asleep instantly. I awoke at 3:12 a.m. for no apparent reason. The silence in the room was absolute, but I sensed I was not alone. I looked toward the bathroom door, which was ajar. I knew I had closed it. I tried to convince myself that I had forgotten to do so, but something didn't add up. I lay in bed for a few seconds, looking at the bathroom door. It wasn't moving, but the opening was wide enough for me to imagine that something was on the other side watching me. I got up, turned on the light, and checked the bathroom. It was empty. I closed the door tightly this time and went back to bed. The room was cold, but I didn't care. I tucked myself in and tried to sleep. Suddenly, I heard a thud, as if something had fallen. I looked over at the desk. The chair, which had been perfectly placed, was now on its side. I got up again. I looked around the room for something out of place, but everything seemed in order except for the chair. I straightened it up and tried to convince myself that maybe I had left it misplaced before, but I hadn't. I hadn't touched the chair. I sat on the bed and looked around. The curtains were closed and the door secured. Everything was as it should be, but something in the room felt wrong. I lay back down and turned off the light, leaving only the bathroom light. I tried to ignore the noises, but it was impossible. The creaking of the floor started again, closer this time. It was as if something heavy was slowly walking towards the bed. Suddenly, the curtains moved as if a gust of air had shaken them, but the windows were closed. I got up suddenly and went to them, checking the locks. They were secure. As I was checking, I heard a sound right behind me. A low, low whisper. I turned immediately, but there was nothing. Everything was exactly as I had left it, except for one detail. The bathroom lights were flickering. I walked slowly toward the bathroom. I pushed open the door and watched as the lights went out all at once. I stood there in the dark, trying to figure out what was going on, when suddenly the bathroom door slammed shut in front of me. I jumped back, almost tripping over the bed. The knock echoed through the room, followed by absolute silence. My breathing was the only thing that could be heard. I tried to open the bathroom door, but it was stuck. I pounded on it with my fist, screaming, but it wouldn't budge. Suddenly, a sound began to emanate from inside the bathroom, a whisper that gradually turned into a low, harsh laugh. I backed up to my bed, not taking my eyes off the door. Then I heard footsteps. This time, they were not coming from the bathroom, but from the hallway outside the room. I ran to the front door and looked through the peephole. I saw no one, but the footsteps continued, and they sounded louder and louder, closer and closer. I turned the lock to try to get out, but the key wouldn't turn. It was as if something was keeping it locked. A feeling in my chest made me turn toward the room. The curtains were wide open, and behind the window, I saw a dark, motionless shadow. I could not breathe properly. I went to the window, ready to open it and scream for help, but before I could get there, the lights in the room began to flicker. The shadow disappeared, but now it was somewhere else. The corner next to the closet. It was tall, with a barely human form. It had no eyes or face, but I knew it was looking at me. I backed toward the bed, looking for something to defend myself with. I grabbed the desk lamp and held it in front of me as if it were a weapon. The figure didn't move, but the murmuring returned. It was as if dozens of voices were speaking at the same time. The monster wasn't speaking, as he did not have a mouth, but he was listening too. He was engulfed by the voices. They were saying something, but I couldn't understand what. It was as if they were speaking another language. Suddenly, the figure lunged toward me. I screamed and hit it with the lamp, but it passed through it like smoke. I felt an intense cold in my chest as if something was piercing me. I staggered and fell to the ground, gasping. I got up as best I could and ran to the front door. This time, the key turned and the door opened. I stepped out into the hallway, but the footsteps were still chasing me. I looked back and saw the shadow moving forward, faster than before. I ran down the stairs, screaming for help. I reached the lobby, but it was empty. No one was there. I hid behind the receptionist desk, trembling as I heard footsteps descending the stairs. Suddenly, everything stopped. There was no noise, no shadow, no whispering. I slowly got up and saw that the front door of the Parador was open. I ran out to my car and started up without looking back. I didn't go back for my things. I never wanted to know what exactly had happened in room 22. I searched the internet for information, and what I found confirmed my suspicions. Several people had reported similar experiences in that room. Some even claimed to have been attacked by something they could not describe. Since that night, I never stayed in old hotels again, and every time I pass near Hien, I make sure to take a different route. Some things are better not to face again, and Room 22 is one of them. For the sake of the story, some parts of where the Parador is or how it works have been changed. This story is based on the chilling paranormal tales surrounding the Parador de Jaén in Spain, a historic building perched atop Santa Catalina Hill. Once a medieval castle and now a luxury hotel, the Parador has a reputation for being haunted by restless spirits. Guests have reported strange noises like footsteps echoing through empty corridors, doors creaking open by themselves, and inexplicable cold spots in certain rooms. Room 22 in particular is infamous for eerie happenings, with many claiming to hear sobs and whisperings during the night, believed to belong to the ghost of a woman who met a tragic end centuries ago. The legend doesn't end there. Another ghastly figure said to haunt the Parador is that of a Moorish prince who died during the Reconquista. His sorrowful figure is rumored to appear near the walls, staring into the distance as if mourning his lost kingdom. Hotel staff and visitors alike have shared accounts of objects moving on their own and shadowy figures disappearing around corners. Hey guys, we noticed that only a small portion of you are subscribed to the channel. If you really enjoy our stories, please follow us and like the video. It's free and it really helps us a lot to keep growing. We upload videos daily and interact a lot with our community, as we upload stories that you recommend us, and once a month, we upload your own stories. And to those of you who are already subscribed, we appreciate all your likes, comments, and your constant support. You are as much a part of SSG Animations as we are. And now, back to the video.
I still remember working the night shift as a security guard at the Crescent Oaks Hotel. My job was to patrol the halls, check that the doors were locked, and take a few calls from guests who were still awake. It was a quiet place, at least during the day. The nights had something different. I couldn't explain it, but I always felt a little restless when the sun disappeared. My routine was simple. I would walk the first floor, check the main corridors, then go up the service stairs to the upper floors. Most nights pass without incident. There's not much that can happen during a hotel at night, right? The hotel had 5 floors, nothing extraordinary. Comfortable rooms, a small bar, a pool that closed early. The maintenance areas, on the other hand, looked like a maze of narrow corridors and low ceilings. They were the areas I avoided most. There was no reason to go there unless something was wrong. It wasn't that it was destroyed or anything, but I don't know. There was something about those huge hallways with warm yellowish light that made me uncomfortable. And to be fair, the other employees as well. That night began like any other. The clock struck 11 p.m. when I started my first round. It was just another night at the hotel. Around midnight, as I was checking the 3rd floor hallway, I heard a noise. It was something brief, like a thud coming from the service staircase. It wasn't unusual for someone to come down late for drinks or something, but I hadn't seen anyone on the cameras. I walked over to the stairwell door and opened it. The light in the stairwell was flickering, which wasn't unusual. The building had its years, although it wasn't right either. I was going to have to let the manager know the next day. I descended a couple of steps to make sure no guests were missing, but all was quiet. As I walked back up the hallway, I heard it again. This time it was different. A rhythmic sound, like footsteps. I looked down, and that's when I saw it. A human shadow slowly descended the stairs, just below where I was standing. There was no way anyone could have passed without me seeing it. I froze. The shadow stopped as if it knew I was watching it. Then it began to move faster, moving up the steps toward me. Without thinking, I closed the door and ran. At the time, I didn't think it was anything paranormal. I just acted on reflex. Someone was coming down the stairs and suddenly coming up the stairs very fast. I ran into the main hallway, trying to think clearly. The more I tried to figure out what had happened, the more frightened I became. There was something or someone on the stairs, and it wasn't a guest. The cameras had not recorded anyone entering or leaving. Everything pointed to the fact that someone had managed to sneak in. But then, why not report it? Something inside me told me this wasn't normal. As I made my way to the maintenance area, I opened an emergency door to take shelter. The shrill sound of the alarm filled the air. I cursed under my breath, knowing that I would now have to explain to the manager why I had set it off. But at that moment, I didn't care. When I turned to look down the hallway, my heart almost stopped. There it was again. The shadow. This time it wasn't on the stairs. It was at the end of the hallway, motionless. Its feet didn't touch the floor. There was no sound of footsteps. It just stood there, waiting. Well, I wasn't going to wait to see what it would do. I ran as fast as I could down the maintenance aisles, dodging boxes and stacked equipment. I felt the adrenaline rushing through my body, but also something else. The feeling that I was being followed. Halfway down the aisle, I tripped over a coiled hose on the floor. My body hit the ground and a sharp pain shot through my right leg. I tried to get up quickly, but the time I lost when I fell was enough for something to change. The alarm was still sounding, but the hallway was silent. I turned slowly, expecting to see the hallway empty. Instead, it was there. Closer this time. The shadow wasn't moving, but its shape was beginning to change. It was as if it had no defined body, as if it were made of smoke trapped in a space that didn't understand the laws of physics. My leg hurt, but I forced myself to get up. I picked up a metal bar that was lying nearby and held it tightly. I knew I couldn't hit something that wasn't even solid, but I needed to hold on to something, anything. As I made up my mind to run again, I heard a noise. It was something deep, guttural, like a growl that echoed from the walls themselves. The sound made me recoil, and I stumbled over a box. The shadow moved forward. The shadow moved fast, as if it were alive. It stretched out what appeared to be arms and reached for me before I could react. Something cold wrapped around my neck and lifted me off the ground. I tried to hit it with the metal bar, but...
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
It was like going through smoke. I couldn't breathe. The pressure was unbearable. My feet kicked in the air as I tried to free myself. I felt the air escaping my lungs and my vision dimming. In a last desperate attempt, I punched what appeared to be its face. Although it had no effect, it suddenly let go of me. I fell to the ground like a sack of potatoes, gasping for air. The shadow disappeared. But the hallway was still in darkness. The alarm was still sounding, but now it sounded far away. As if I was so dazed that I had forgotten everything around me. I tried to crawl toward the emergency exit, but my broken leg made every movement an ordeal. The next minute was a blur. All I remember was reaching the end of the hallway, just as I felt something grab me from behind. I fell face down, screaming, but... there was no one there. My hands desperately searched for the exit door. I managed to open it and crawled out. When I was finally outside, I felt I was out of danger. I crawled away from the building as fast as I could, crawling on the asphalt until my body gave out. I lay there, looking up at the sky, trying to process what had happened. I knew I couldn't go back. A motorist found me a couple of hours later and called 911. At the hospital, I was told I had a broken leg and several strange marks on my neck and arms. When they asked me what had happened, I didn't say anything. No one would believe me. I resigned from the hotel without explanation. I simply sent an email to the manager saying I would not return. He never contacted me again, and I did nothing to find out what had become of the place. I don't know what happened that night. I have no idea if my manager already knew what was going on or if it was the first time. I just know that I really mean what I said. I will never set foot in that hotel again in my life. Ever.
I've always had a fixation on mysteries that people prefer to ignore. It's as if they were there, waiting to be discovered, but no one had the courage to face them. That's why I ended up traveling to Santiago, Chile. I had read about the strange phenomenon occurring on Line 5 of the subway between Baquedano and Parque Bustamante stations. Rumor had it that every Sunday at 11:45 p.m., trains passing through that section would stop for 15 minutes. Although officially that route was only supposed to take 3. Subway employees did not talk about it, and the records show that the trains were on time. However, passengers who had been there told stories of lights going out, unbearable cold, and something they couldn't explain. So, there I was, on an almost empty platform at Baquedano, waiting for the last train of the night. I had prepared my camera and flashlight, determined to record whatever happened. When the train arrived, there were only a couple of passengers who got off immediately. I was left all alone in the carriage. The doors closed and the train moved forward normally. But as soon as we entered the tunnel, everything changed. The train came to a screeching halt. The light flickered and went out, leaving me in complete darkness. For a moment, I thought it was a technical problem, something routine. But when the lights didn't return and the silence lengthened, I felt a discomfort that was hard to ignore. I took out my camera and started recording, pointing it at the windows, the seats, and the aisle of the carriage. Everything seemed normal, but that strange feeling remained. I walked slowly to the other end of the carriage, stepping carefully so as not to stumble in the dark. Suddenly, a fit of coughing shook me. It was as if something invisible was filling my lungs, shutting them down. I bent over, struggling to catch my breath as my throat burned. Then the cold came. It wasn't the typical subway breeze. It was a bone-chilling cold, as if I were in a cold room. That's when I saw the first lights. They were not coming from the ceiling of the carriage, but from the darkness. Little bright dots that gradually multiplied until I realized that they were not lights. They were eyes. Dozens, maybe hundreds, staring at me from every corner of the wagon. They were not human. I knew that immediately. The figures that accompanied them were blurry, like ill-defined shadows, but their movements were real. They glided between the seats and aisles, slowly approaching me. I backed up until I hit the wall of the carriage, my camera shaking in my hands. I turned on the flashlight and pointed it at them, but the light didn't affect them. The eyes were still glowing, and the figures continued to approach, emitting a low sound, like a whisper mixed with a growl. I tried to open the train doors, but they were locked. I tapped on the window with the handle of the flashlight, but the glass didn't even crack. My despair increased with every second as the figures came closer and closer. One of them raised a long, thin arm as if about to touch me. I backed up even further, pressing myself against the corner, my breath hitching. That's when something brushed my leg. I looked down and saw one of those shadows crawling toward me, its eyes locked on mine. The shadow lunged at me, and I felt a sharp pain in my arm. It was as if a handful of blades were piercing my skin. I screamed, trying to push it away, but its strength was surprising. I managed to hit it with the flashlight, and although it didn't seem to damage it, it retreated for a moment. I had no time to recover. Another figure lunged from the side, slamming me to the floor of the wagon. I could feel its cold, rough hands gripping me while its teeth, sharp as needles, dug into my shoulder. The pain was unbearable. Desperate, I kicked with all my might, managing to push her away for a second. I staggered to my feet and ran to the other end of the wagon, but there was no way out. The figures were moving fast, surrounding me. I pulled out my camera and started filming again, pointing it at them. I wanted to have some proof, anything to show that this was happening. But deep down, I knew it wasn't going to do any good. The light in my eyes blinded me as the shadows cornered me. One of them lunged towards me, and I felt its claws tear at my skin. I tried to defend myself, but each movement was slower, as if the cold was paralyzing me. The whispering grew louder, turning into a chorus of voices that seemed to come from everywhere. Their words made no sense, but were filled with palpable malice. A larger figure fell on me, crushing me to the ground. It bit into my side, tearing a scream of pain from me. Each bite, each scratch, was like liquid fire burning inside me. I closed my eyes, waiting for it all to end. Suddenly, the train jerked, and the lights came on all at once. The figures disappeared as if they had never been there. I lay on the ground, panting, my body covered with marks that didn't seem quite real, but the pain was. The train stopped at Parque Bustamante, and the doors opened with a mechanical sound that now seemed unreal after what had just happened. I staggered out, my breathing heavy and my body covered in marks. Every step was agony, but all that mattered was finding the conductor. I walked across the empty platform to the front cab. I pounded hard on the door using what little energy I had left. The door opened after a moment, and a middle-aged man scowled at me. "What's wrong?" he asked with obvious annoyance, as if he was used to dealing with drunks or vagrants.
Something on the train," I stammered, pointing to the empty car behind me. My voice was shaking so badly I could barely understand myself. I was attacked. There were things in there.
The driver looked me up and down. His expression changed from irritation to surprise, then to something more akin to concern.
"What happened to you? You're covered in blood." "What I'm telling you!" I shouted, desperate. "Something in the tunnel. The lights went out. There were shadows, eyes. I was bitten, scratched."
The driver frowned, clearly confused.
"The lights didn't go out at any time, and the train didn't stop." "Of course it stopped. I was stuck in there for 15 minutes.
"Are you on drugs?
Drunk?" "No! I came to investigate what happens between Baquedano and this station."
"I read about the phenomenon. The train stopping, the lights going out."
"What time is it?" 11:53 o'clock.
The driver nodded slowly, and his expression became more serious.
"That's not the time when that happens. If you were really investigating, you know what happens on the last round of the train, not this one." "No, it can't be. Look, I even recorded it."
I took the camera with trembling hands and checked the files. There was nothing. Not a single second was recorded. "I recommend you leave and never come back to this line. Never."
Before I could answer him, the man started the train engine and continued on his way. I stood there bewildered and in pain, not knowing what to do.
When I got to my hotel, I checked the camera. It had recorded nothing, not a single second. I never went back to the Santiago Metro after that night. I didn't even go back to Chile or do any other paranormal investigation.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Now I am simply afraid of everything related to it.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.